Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli. My co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
Great. You?
Better until I saw those socks. Oh, my Lord.
So, it was one of those weeks, man. It was the holy kind of week.
Okay. Oh, my Lord. Okay. So, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are going to be listening and not seeing this. So, let me kind of describe Mr. Popowich and his attire. He's looking really good. He's got a nice jacket on. He's got a nice little pocket square going on. Some blue pants. Blue shoes. He's looking good. And then when you look at his socks, Dave...
It's rolls of toilet paper.
Rolls of toilet paper.
For the holy week that we've had.
Okay. Okay. That sets the tone. Anybody wants to take a look at Dave Popowich's socks or any of the other socks that he's been wearing, we'll definitely be able to post that up on our website at morethanmoneyradio.com or at least socks. To our social media. Our team will definitely get that out.
Socks can say a lot, buddy. You know that. And it was one of those weeks, man, because here's the thing. We got an interesting show. At the end of the show, stick around for the fourth bit, because we're going to be talking to a portfolio manager that we've had on regularly, but he has the ability to go long short. He can do anything and how he's positioning in this market. And this market is going crazy again.
Yeah.
Right? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. There's a lot of people getting back to traveling, too. This show, we're going to talk about if you're going to be snowbirding again, if you're returning, what do you need to know? What are you going to experience? How's this going to go, right? There's some weird stuff going on in the travel industry right now.
And just at the end of last month, a few days ago, we heard about the program called the Rent-to-Own program the federal government announced this week, and how it will impact the economy. We're going to talk about this program because a lot of people are thinking about not only themselves, but their adult children looking to get into the housing market. It's very expensive in many places across the country. Maybe this rent-to-own program might be suitable for them.
Yeah.
And let's kind of talk about the pros and cons of that. So I think we've got a very good show today. We've seen, like you said, a lot of volatility, which requires you to wear a toilet rolls on socks, just to talk about how much of a, you know, what kind of a week it was.
Well, you know what I found most interesting about the week? It was a fascinating pattern. On most days, markets would shape up in the morning through the futures markets, either positive or negative, and by the end of the day, it would be the opposite.
We reversed, yeah.
It was really interesting. It was crazy, right? Yeah. Interesting trading week.
You know what else was interesting this week? I had a chat with someone about their portfolio, and they were looking at focusing on cash flow during this volatile time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, just to paint the picture, there are people who have a wide variety of risk tolerances, and some have more than others. And let's talk about the ones that do have that risk tolerance, because they've experienced it recently. And they're focusing on cash flow. Let's use dividends as an example, where this individual is receiving, and I'll make up some numbers just to make it easier. They've got $1 million saved in their non-registered portfolio.
Yep.
So it's not RSP,
tax
not
exposed,
TFSA.
Yep.
They're receiving a 4% dividend, $40,000 a year, and that's what they're living off of. And they're going to have to take some withdrawals out of their RSP or RIF at some point, so on and so forth. But that's what they were focused on. As long as I can keep that cash flow, I don't care about the volatility. And so I asked the question, are you managing a portfolio or are you managing the dividend? And he looked at me as if he never thought of it in that way. And he goes, I guess I'm just managing the dividend. And I think a lot of individuals who have higher risk tolerances are taking on just the dividend management,
right,
not the portfolio management.
Right.
And I think that's a big concern for a few reasons. One, as you go through retirement, at certain points, you may need more cash flow than the dividend that's being exposed.
Right.
So where do you get that cash from? You'll have to withdraw from some point. Many say, I'll just take out of my RSP or my TFSA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an option, for sure. But then I increase the tax possibility there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a problem there. The second part of that is, what about if you're drawing at a time when the markets are down?
Right.
And what happens when the volatility is happening and the dividends don't grow as much as inflation or don't grow with the economy? And there are a bunch of companies that have continued to do that, but there's risk to that.
Or get cut. Right, dividends get cut too. Well, you know, you mentioned something. What's the problem with, so if you've got the 40,000 and you're living off that 40,000 in this example, what's the problem with that if the underlying stocks, say, go down?
Yeah, so the problem with the cash flow, that's all you're receiving. It's kind of like having an apartment building with, let's say, 10 tenants. As long as they're paying their rent on time, cash flow's coming in.
Right.
But you're not managing all the other issues. One big issue in a portfolio, especially outside of an RSP or TFSA, is the tax implication.
Yeah.
At some point, you'll need to withdraw at a higher rate than the dividend. And that means you will be encroaching on a tax issue. Remember, there are three points in time where you can where you'll be paying
pay tax.
Tax,
yeah.
Right? Either you when you make money, when you take money, or when you die or you leave it.
Yep.
Right? When you have those three issues come up, you're basically kicking the tax issue down the road
yep.
as much as possible, which is okay, but at some point you're going to pay that. So how do you manage the portfolio from a tax perspective?
Yep. Yep.
How do you manage the portfolio from a volatility perspective? And then how do you manage it from a cash flow perspective? And this is why we built the buckets the way we have, from the income bucket and the growth bucket.
Yep.
That way you don't have to worry about those two things in the same pool of capital. You can handle it in two different pools. It makes it easier for you.
Let me rephrase the question, because there's a specific point I want you to get to. What happens if the stocks are down, but the cash flow is consistent, but your income need goes up? You need more than what you're going to receive from the dividend, and you're not pulling out of an RSP. It's from the dividend portfolio.
What will happen in many cases, Dave, is that the individual will start to sell the shares of those companies that are paying those dividends to meet the lifestyle goal or cash flow that they need, and now they have less shares paying less dividends, and now it becomes a spiral situation that there's not enough cash flow. And many times people will then say, I will reduce my lifestyle because the rent or the cash flow that I'm getting is lower.
Right.
And that's a big concern. This is the same problem that landlords feel if 100% of their cash flow is coming from rent.
Mm-hmm.
If rent goes down, you have a vacancy, same thing as selling shares, you have less cash flow, you're gonna adjust your lifestyle. And no one plans for that.
No.
No one wants that. So how do you avoid that issue? That's the big concern.
Yeah, you know, his reaction was very interesting, and I think that was a cool analogy with, managing the building, the maintenance. That analogy you used on rental was a good one. And he gave him food for thought, right? May or may not agree with it, but it's food for thought. I thought that was pretty cool. I want to talk we've only got a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, and I want to talk about the recent volatility, right? We saw a summer rally. We saw a sell-off, right, going into the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
We start September. September, if you look historically, it's the weakest month, okay? That doesn't say it's going to be a bad month or a good month. It just say historically people come back to work and it can be kind of crazy. So there might be some volatility.
Mm-hmm.
But the issues haven't changed, right? The issues have not changed. And I thought we had some very interesting data on Friday with respect to that U.S. jobs report.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was some interesting economic data in Canada as well to indicate that we're seeing some slowing. So in Canada in particular, I find it fascinating that some of the language is now changing amongst the economist community to say they're, you know, the Bank of Canada raises next week 75 basis points. Okay, that's the high probability outcome. And then what the change in the language in some instances is now, and then they go on pause.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pause because these interest rate hikes take time to work through the system, right? And so part of the fear, I think, as we go into the fall is, will central banks make a policy mistake, keep going too far too fast before they see what the impact of these rates are going to be? So I think September is going to be a very interesting month to test central bank behavior. Policy behavior with respect to inflation.
The big problem is not the policy itself. It's the credibility behind the policy.
Mm.
Is that many people do not feel the Federal Reserve in the United States or the Bank of Canada have been as transparent as they could be or forthright with what they should have been doing sooner.
Right.
And so credibility is now the conversation. Do we really believe what they're going to say?
Right.
Or do we believe what they're going to do is exactly what they're saying?
Right.
And that's why the markets are moving in so many different directions. We haven't seen anything different from our thesis.
Right.
You know, they're going to continue to raise rates until inflation is under control.
Right.
Full stop.
Right.
Now, if that's 75 basis points, 50 basis points, or more or less, that's not the point. The point is control inflation.
Right.
And until that happens, that's what's going to then dictate where we look at the future.
Yeah.
And so why are people so erratic on these types of conversations is because they don't believe what the Fed or the Bank of Canada is saying.
Well, and they all took a bit of a credibility hit to your point, right, because they got behind. And so those people that were saying you guys are behind and they didn't act, They've got a credibility concern now, right? So they're trying their hardest to work their way out of it. We'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, right? We're going to see how this plays out. We got a great show as well. Don't forget, we got a seminar coming up talking about how do you protect and profit in these types of markets, and how do you make sure that you have that cash flow for the rest of your life in retirement on Tuesday, September 20th, 7 p.m. live in person. It's our first one coming back in person at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Stick around after the break, because we're going to talk about snowbirding, what you need to know to make sure you don't get physically or financially stuck. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.